Only one thing has made me happier this week than that. You know what that is?
What's that?
You can replace Lay It On The Line with Lyle Odeline.
Oh my God, that's so annoying.
By Triumph. Lyle Odeline. I'm telling you, man. You will never hear that song by Triumph the same way again.
That's true.
Lyle Odeline. Okay, here we go. All right, Freej, quick shift edition of 31 Thoughts, the podcast. We're going to talk to Steve Mayer, the chief content officer of the NHL. But first, the story of the week. The Seattle 32s now have a name. They are the Seattle Kraken. Before we drill down and get into some of the specifics, as they say in the Atlantic about this, how important was the events of this week for Seattle, for the NHL? Like, how big a deal is this for the league?
It's a huge deal, and first of all, it was a fun topic, Jeff. Life is hard for people right now, and that was a fun couple of hours. The reveal, the video, the look at the jersey, the name, like whether people liked the name or didn't like it, they were kind of laughing like, whoa, that's really off the board. And I know you don't like it because of the nicknames that can come from it, but I love it. It's different. It's different for hockey. It's a step out of the normal. It's bold. It's a change. It's a try at something new. And I think hockey badly needs that. There were a couple of interesting things I found out in some conversations. Number one, when they were talking about the jersey with the people from Adidas, one of the things they were saying is, we have to imagine what it would look like to lift the Stanley Cup in this jersey. Like, we can't think that it's going to look terrible to lift the Stanley Cup in this jersey. Mm-hmm. And I like the jersey. I like that way of thinking. I think that's very big. The other thing I heard that was interesting was that they chose the name Kraken first, and then they went about the identity, the logo, and the jersey, and the sort of like the storyline of the Kraken. And there were some people who heard the name, and they were like, are you sure about this? Is this really a good idea? And then they started to see the logo and the identity behind it, and they bought in. And a lot of times when expansion teams come in, they won't reveal the name, the logo, and the jersey at the same time. They'll do maybe name and logo at once and jersey later. Mm-hmm. This was a win because they did all three at once, and I think that sold people.
I think they had to do it that way. I think you're right. And to the point, like we've talked about before, I wanted Sasquatch. I just think that that works on a whole lot of levels. But again, as I've pointed out on this podcast before, I've realized, and I've been dragged kicking and screaming into this realization, that not everything is for me, and that's okay. Now, I don't want to shoot an arrow and then paint a circle around it after it lands. I don't want to be that guy like, oh yeah, I liked it all along. Kraken is great. Oh, a home run, tape measure. But at that reveal, I didn't hate it. Like, I love the colors.
Yeah, colors look great.
The colors look great. The logo looks great. I can get used to Kraken. And the one, to your point, I think is a good one. It is different. It is distinct. And the one expectation that I think we all have about Seattle at this point is that everything they do is going to be new, is going to be progressive, is going to surprise a lot of people. Whether it is the name, which is very non-traditional, whether it's the first, you know, green arena, climate pledge arena.
Yes.
Like, everything they do is going to be different. We expect that. Their hiring policy is progressive. The way that they are going to do business is progressive. I just hope that it doesn't stop now. I don't think that it does. But what it does do, Elliot, selfishly, since I've conceded Sasquatch, I'm going to bang the drum for different colored ice for Seattle.
Oh my God. I knew you were going to, I was like, Amal, our producer, I wrote down, actually, I got to tell you, I wrote down, when does Jeff come up with the different colored ice?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I don't
you.
Think I predicted it to be this early. Well, put it this way, Jeff, if one team's going to do it, it's going to be this one.
Well, they're promoting, they have the green arena. So do green ice. Here you go. Here's your chance.
I'd love to see if the NHL allows this. You know, it reminds me a lot of the Raptors when the Raptors came in. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a lot of people that didn't like Raptors. And I remember John Bitov doing an interview on The Fan with Bob McCowan. And John Bitov said, "Bob, what do you think of the name?" And he goes, "Bob said, I hate it." And John Bitov said, "Good. That means that you're not in our target audience, so I don't care what you think about it." And the other thing, too, is you talk about the team. Look at their Twitter feed. "Now that we have a name, we're strategizing all the ways to draft your favorite player."
Yeah.
Like, there are already people in the league telling me, "I'm sick of these guys already." So the rivalries are building. Yes, the rivalries are building. So the other thing, too, Jeff, I'd heard was, I heard the amount of meetings over the smallest details were unreal. Like the color of the eyes, how many eyes. You know, I didn't realize it until I saw the video. When you look at the logo, the S has a tentacle through it. Mm-hmm. Like that black line is the tentacle of the Kraken. And there was one person who told me that they weren't so sure about this until they saw that video. And I have to say, I identify with that. When I saw the video and saw that that's what that black line was supposed to be,
yeah,
I thought that was really cool.
One of the things about the whole reveal by Seattle is the security around it, the secrecy around it, the lack of leaks. I thought for sure that by the morning of the announcement, it would be out there and confirmed by somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the one thing that I learned from one of, maybe if not my favorite movie of all time, Jaws, is this. Mm-hmm. Don't show the shark. The secret of that movie is they don't show the shark until much later on. Don't show the shark. And the one thing that Seattle did in this entire process is they didn't show the shark. Like, I'm sure there was a temptation there to extend the metaphor, show the shark. But they didn't do it. Even in that video, as everybody is going through this Zapruder style, frame by frame by frame, trying to look for clues, I got to give it to Seattle, man. They didn't show the shark at all.
One of the big conversations I heard after they decided the name was, what's the mascot going to look like?
Well, and that's when you get to the rivalry about Detroit, with Detroit.
Yes.
If it looks too much like a traditional octopus.
It won't. There's no way it will.
No, of course not.
And they also said, like, the jersey, the Kraken has to look not like a wimp. It can't be a wimpy Kraken. Like, I don't know enough about mythological creatures. I'm not sure there can be a wimpy Kraken. Does it exist? I doubt it. Every movie I've ever seen a Kraken, they're pretty nasty. But they definitely talked about that. We can't have a soft Kraken.
So the jerseys were revealed. The branding is revealed. And Tim Leiwicki, who's the CEO of the Oakview Group, was on Hockey Central with us the day of the announcement. And he let something slide, or let something slip, that was pretty interesting.
"We spent more time going back and look at the Metropolitans and the fact they won the Stanley Cup. So we spent a lot of time looking at that history and tradition. I won't spill all the beans, but I'll tell you, there is a third and fourth jersey coming that eventually will honor that legacy and that tradition."
The 1917 team, of course, won the Stanley Cup. I would imagine that if they're winking at history that hard, and I think that they will, that we'll probably see a banner raising on the opening night.
Well, you're going to do something special, right?
I think they'll do a number of special things on opening night. I would imagine that would be one of them.
Yes.
And you know what would be a nice touch too? Here we are. Here you go, Seattle. Here's a million ideas here on this podcast. Hap Holmes was the goaltender for that Seattle team. Holmes played on a number of Stanley Cup champions, real good goaltender. Born in Aurora, in the Aurora Sports Hall of Fame, died relatively young, I think in his early 50s in Florida, but he wore a baseball cap. I think he might have been the first goaltender in the NHL to ever wear a baseball cap. It would be nice if they did something with Hap Holmes and a base. I don't know what it is. I'm just doing this off the top of my head, but if someone is wearing a Hap, maybe it's whoever the goaltender is for the opening ceremony wears a Hap Holmes baseball hat. That would be a nice touch for the hockey nerd like me out there who didn't get Sasquatch.
Well, the one thing I looked up was, does Seattle have any retired numbers? And they don't. Remember when Ottawa came in, they had an old retired number, Frank Finnegan, and they honored it. But Seattle, I can't sense that they do.
Okay, so now Seattle's job is to make this team, to create this team out of nothing, not unlike what Vegas went through most recently. Do they have a friend in the flat cap, Seattle?
Oh, I we talked about this last week. I think they're a huge winner in the new CBA. Their job just became, I don't know if easier is the right word, but they gained some real advantages. And, you know, a few teams have said that to me, that the mistakes of Vegas, they were going to avoid them. Now circumstances have dictated that someone's going to have to make them. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge advantage for them. There's no question.
From a financial point of view, Elliot, we just mentioned the flat cap here a second ago. Given the economic realities the NHL is going through now and will go through in the next couple of seasons, I know I opened up by saying how important is the Seattle team, but I'll ask it again from an economic point of view. Did this team not just become one of the more important teams in the NHL? Team 32, new infusion of money?
Well, there's no question that that's true, and a new infusion of enthusiasm, too. The Bettman and Daly made it very clear in their negotiations with the players that ownership cash flow was very important. Mm-hmm. And they got expansion money that players don't share in from Vegas. And there were some owners who thought they didn't get enough in terms of the system stuff, e.g. arbitration, that they wanted. But one of the things they could be sold on was that they have expansion money coming in. And that's their win. And that's cash. So there's no doubt that Seattle's big for a lot of reasons. And the other thing, too, is even before this, there were people who were predicting that Seattle would be a top 10 revenue team in the NHL. They're going to need that.
Their merch is already hot. Like, it's talk.
Well, that's one of the reasons it didn't get out, because it's not ready yet, right? Mm-hmm. You can order stuff, but I learned it through this process that one of the ways that logos and names get leaked, Jeff, is that you have to share them with vendors, or you pre-sale them to vendors and things like that. Yep. They didn't do it this time. They didn't do it this time.
They kept it all close. All right. Congratulations, Seattle. You now have a name, and the NHL has team number 32. Welcome to 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
Whether you call it a hub, a bubble, or a protective zone, our focus, so that we can conclude the 1920 season, will be on Edmonton and Toronto as we bring back the teams that are going to ultimately be competing for the Stanley Cup.
Welcome once again to 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Quick shift edition this week. Please be joined, Elliot, right now by the Chief Content Officer for the NHL, Steve Mayer. And Steve, before we get into hub cities and bubbles and all these other topics, I want to get your thoughts on Seattle. Elliot and I kicked off the podcast this week by talking about, you know, the big reveal and how everything was kept really secret and tight-lipped and what we can expect from Seattle. But I'm curious from a league point of view, and especially someone like yourself who always puts the accent on entertainment, what did you think of Seattle's presentation this week?
I thought it was just awesome. And I also think the fact that they went as long as they went with not revealing, and is also a great credit to them. Listen, what they're going to bring is, for me, everything that I want us to be. I mean, there's going to be entertaining. You saw it yesterday. They just think big. And you saw that yesterday. The logo is awesome. The reaction has been great. You know, they feel like they are going to fit just perfectly into all the things that we want to do. Mm. And we've talked to them a bunch. Obviously, there's some things to come. Some of the people that they've been talking to, their ideas, that it's quite exciting. It really is. And I thought they just did a great job in revealing the name.
And Steve, just because I want to annoy Elliot, I want to ask this follow-up question. If they came to the NHL now and said, we do things different here in Seattle, how do you feel about green ice or blue ice? If they went that far, what would the reaction be, do you think?
You're going too far. Mm-hmm. That's probably what the reaction would be.
Thank God.
Yeah. Now, listen, there's going to be a time and a place for everything that they're going to want to do. And I'm sure, based on what we've seen and what we know, they're going to want to be aggressive, as Vegas was, you know, and there's a point where the game starts and the puck is dropped and the game is preserved. And I think they'll respect that. And all indications are that that's a clear understanding on their part. But what they do sort of, you know, in between the games and to generate excitement is super exciting. And I think it'll be a little while before we see blue or green ice.
Green pucks?
Oh my God! I'm kidding, turn his microphone off, Elliot. For God's sakes.
So I think Elliot's right. He's on the right side of that argument.
First of all, when you heard Kraken, what did you think?
Not understanding or knowing the sort of background, I probably threw a few jokes out there as well. But what I think is unique about their boldness is, you know, they love it. You know, there's so many things that they could do around the name and based off the name. My personal reaction was, you know, I was somebody that didn't understand, you know, what Kraken meant. So, you know, now that I have a better understanding and I clearly get it, I think there's a lot of different ways to go. I do think people will have fun with the name, good or bad. But, you know, it's exciting. It drives energy. I just see the movement in their logo, in their secondary logo. There's some really cool things that they just have come up with. They think so big. And, you know, I think that they're going to do some great things at the league. And like Vegas, you know, Vegas did things that others have followed. You know, others have tried, not necessarily to copy, but, you know, up their games based on Vegas coming to the league. And I think we're going to see that once again.
And the last one for me on this topic was, you know, I had some conversations yesterday, and one of the most interesting things I heard, Steve, was that when they were discussing their jersey, one of the things that came up big time was we have to imagine ourselves winning the Stanley Cup in this jersey. Will we be embarrassed or proud to win the Stanley Cup in this jersey? That was a detail that I really enjoyed hearing about. Give us a detail about the whole conversation about Kraken jersey logo name that stood out to you.
So I really have to be honest. I was not part of those conversations. I really wasn't. That was Brian Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine that conversation happening. And boy, oh boy, I applaud that. I mean, I think every team should think that way. And that's bold. And yes, it's coming from an expansion team, but I hope that that was the conversation because, you know, look at what Vegas did the first year. And again, I was not part of that particular conversation, so I really can't comment on it, but I clearly would hope and think that that is a true conversation that happened. And I think it's great.
Well, as you know, Steve, all of my information is 100% accurate, so it definitely.
You know, I've always known that about you, Elliot, and that's why I'm doing this show.
All right, so let's go on to the Hubs. Number one question: when I saw the NBA scrimmages this week, I was really curious about the court, and I saw what they did, and now we have a picture of what you guys are doing it. I'm really interested in this. And I see in the NBA, the screens are right on the court or right next to it. The NHL, it looks like they're a bit further back. Tell us about your design and how you put this all together.
Well, and listen, I'm not here at all to comment on what other leagues are doing, but I will say, obviously, we have an eye on every league and certainly had eyes on leagues that already are underway to see what's good, what's bad. Listen, our thought process when designing our playing field, our ice, and our surroundings, we just wanted to take the seats out of play. That was really important. Now, remember, the NBA is playing in a produced environment from the court all the way on. Like, we on the other hand, are playing in a 19,000-seat arena in both Edmonton and Toronto. So we knew that, you know, we wanted to make everything feel smaller, more compact, but at the same time, we're dealing with a major arena. And so therefore, some of our design, which you know, will look, obviously being very partial, you know, incredible on wide shots and, you know, from low angle looking up, you know. But one of the reasons that we sort of moved the LEDs off a little, and by the way, it's only 10 to 12 rows, depending on where you look around the rink surround, was to hide the rest of the arena and hide the seats in some manner and go big. I mean, these LED screens are ginormous. So that's another piece of this. We just wanted it to feel big. And the other thing from a technical standpoint is something that everybody needs to understand. These LEDs and the lights give off quite a bounce in terms of light. And we have to protect the ice. The ice surface needs to stay exactly as is. And so there can be no reflection coming from the LED screens onto the ice. And that's something that, I mean, we technically really worked very hard at to recognize early on. And so they are positioned also in a manner that won't reflect on the ice.
Is that reflection because the ice is white?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You knew it was coming, Elliot.
I'm so embarrassed right now. Oh my God.
It has a little to do with it. Yeah. And so we were thinking about making the ice green, Jack.
Oh, imagine that.
We could have done that. We could have done that. Now, you listen, you know, but those things, all of those factors have to be in play. You have to think about, you know, yeah, you can design anything and you can come up with the greatest ideas. But again, it goes back to preserving the game. You know, once the puck is dropped, we need a pristine ice surface. And, you know, I know my hockey operations team and they're amazing, but they will be the first ones to say, hey, Steve, what are you doing? So we got ahead of the game. And so that's the reason we've positioned our arena, as you saw.
Any type of feedback so far, Steve, from players themselves, what they like, what they don't like? What's the vibe about around this look from the players' point of view?
Well, you know, the look itself wasn't revealed until this week's press conference. So the players even hadn't seen it. We've talked a little to the players about what it was going to be like. So I have to admit, we haven't gotten an immediate reaction from the players, but we have been talking to the players. You know, with regards to the rest of the hub, I have been working really closely with the NHLPA and a group of players who have given their feedback on what they would like in the hub. And when it came to the gameplay, you know, we haven't heard much from them. I think they've respected what we've done, you know, at outdoor games, all-star games, and how we've presented those. And, you know, we've given them hints as to what we were going to do here, but at the same time, you know, never really revealed what it was going to look like until this week and didn't reveal it to the players yet. So I'm actually curious to hear their reaction as well. But I think they had great confidence in what we've done in the past, and that wasn't one of their concerns at all. They're much more focused on, you know, what's it going to be like in the hub, what's going to be available to us, and how can we activate some things that we want. And that's what we've really listened hard to, and we hope that we're going to execute.
See, the reason I ask is I would imagine most of the I wouldn't imagine the players would have an issue with the way this is laid out. The one position that I would imagine may have issue based on visual distraction are the netminders. Those are the ones that I'm most curious about here.
Well, there was a lot of thought into that as well. We had originally some screens behind the net, and we had some pretty big pieces of trussing, and we took those out. So with that consideration, you know, this has evolved. I mean, what was released is probably revision 196. This thing has evolved, and we've tweaked and tweaked. And again, with all of that in mind, and there were some early on looks that we thought could be a problem. We consulted with hockey operations. We actually consulted with some goalies just to say, would this be a distraction? The other piece of this, we also changed the coloring of those seat covers, the graphics that are around the rink surround. That's evolved. That's changed. in respect to the players and being able to see the puck. So again, you know, we worked pretty hard on this. We think it's going to look awesome on television, and we don't think it's going to be a factor for play.
Tell me, what's the thing that you're most excited about? Aside from the games being played, something that you're going to unveil here, something that we're going to see. What's the thing you're most excited about?
Well, in the arena, I do think that we're doing something unique, and I think that we will stand out. You know, and again, I don't want to compare to other leagues, but we're going to be different. You know, our approach is different. So I think from that standpoint, it'll be unique. I do think we've got a lot of these special nights planned. We've got a few surprises along the way that I think will be pretty cool. I am very excited about the presentation and telecasts and how that will be presented. What keeps me up at night is my other job, and that's putting together the safest, most secure hub in both places, in Edmonton and Toronto. I'm in Edmonton, but Dean Matsuzaki is in Toronto, and that's really the focus here. I mean, yes, I wear the entertainment hat, the event hat, a lot for all our other events. This is so unique. I mean, and we have a job here and a responsibility that is beyond anything that I've ever done in my life, my career. You know, there's over 900 people in both hubs, and, you know, we want and have to keep these people secure, safe, and the testing, the procedures, the protocol has to be followed. There's personal responsibility, sure, but there's also our responsibility as event producers to make sure that they stay in a really, really safe environment. So to me, that's the biggest piece of this. And I'm excited about it because it's such an amazing challenge. I mean, we're putting together a resort, and I put that in quotes, in 3 weeks, and in putting all restaurants and activities and areas to go and accessing things that were closed to make them open. You know, I'm really proud of the most amazing events team in the world and the ability to be able to do this in weeks. But, you know, the in the arena is probably the least of my worries. We do this so well. The team that I've got doing it both in Toronto and Edmonton are just awesome. It's a loaded question a little because I'm excited about in the arena. I'm also excited about outside, but it's a different kind of excitement.
One of the things you talked about, August 1st, there's going to be nights where you recognize the people who've been on the forefront in medicine in the pandemic, and there's going to be a social justice initiative. And the social justice initiative, the hashtag is WeSkate4, and players will be able to put decals on their helmets. In the NBA, there was negotiating about what the players were allowed to put on their jerseys, for example. Were there any negotiations between the leagues and players in terms of what was allowed and what isn't?
No, none. No, we want our players to be able to express themselves, and we obviously have been doing a lot of listening over the course of the last months to understand what our players are thinking and what they want to do. But I think we are, you know, focused on letting the players have these opportunities to express themselves. And I'm not clear what will happen and how they'll react when our anthems are played. And I think that given our players and the discussions so far, they will absolutely use this in such a positive way and as a wonderful forum to start moving from talk and emotion to action. And, you know, this is a tournament where they're going to be in the public eye in such a significant way. And I do think that the players will react in the way that they feel is the right way and in the way that they express themselves. And so that night, yes, we'll have a very formal opening ceremony that, you know, we're planning right now, and I think it's going to be real powerful, and that's where, you know, that arena setting will sort of come to life. But how the players react and what the players do, that'll be on them. And, you know, I'm curious as well as you are as to how they're going to express themselves.
I think a lot of us are curious as well, what will carry over into the NHL once things are quote unquote normal again? And I wonder about what you've just been talking about there, Steve. Do you think the NHL, when things get back to some type of normalcy, that that specific canvas will still be there for players to express themselves?
I think so. I don't see it changing, and it certainly hasn't been discussed. You know, I think we're really focused on, you know, this period of time, and I think we'll see how everything evolves. We haven't discussed it further. The only thing we've all discussed is, you know, again, it's time to stop talking and let's cease the action and let's see what we can do to make the world a better place and how we can contribute to that in any way. These are changing times in so many different areas, and if we can help that, anything to make the world a better place, we're all for that.
Epidemiologists who have looked at return to play programs will say the most sensitive time is that transition to the hub. From your knowledge, your conversations, and now your expertise, what are some of the things that you're most concerned or aware of as your athletes now transition to their hubs and to their bubbles?
Listen, I'm not the chief medical officer. I have been in more meetings than I've ever imagined I would ever be in my life. Mm-hmm. I will say we have a protocol, and our protocol is something, and I can only speak to those who have now entered the hub, and we have a little over 100 people that are here now awaiting the players' arrival. What we are clearly focused on is just maintaining this protocol, wearing masks, social distancing. I mean, and I'll tell you, we are being tough on people. I mean, if we see a mask even remotely off, we're screaming at people to put it back on. We're literally physically moving people away from each other. It's an acquired taste when you're in an atmosphere like this. And listen, I came here not knowing what to expect. You know, it takes a little time to be conditioned. You know, it's not natural. It isn't. And, you know, when it comes to meetings and when it comes to doing your job that, you know, obviously takes great human connection in order to pull off what we're trying to do, you know, you just have to do it in the smartest way. And we are being tested every single day. Everybody is now into this routine. And I'm watching it with every day, how people are looking at this, and it's now becoming the norm. And I have to admit, the first couple of days, it was awkward. And I do think when the players enter the hub, they're coming off of a phase three protocol, which, you know, they've respected, and they're wearing their masks, and they really have been educated similarly to how our staff has been. And I do think they're going to come here and follow that protocol. And yeah, is there that moment where the transition, you just don't know what they're potentially bringing here? But I will say this, that, you know, our medical staff has done an unbelievable job. This protocol feels so safe to me. And I personally feel really comfortable in this environment. And I feel like everywhere I turn, there's hand sanitizer. Everywhere you turn, you are like being told by a hygiene officer, you know, if there's anything you're doing out of sorts, and we'll see how it goes. But so far, you know, we've been here for 10 days and, you know, it's going very, very smoothly and people are really following protocol.
Was there anything you wanted to do that the commissioner or the deputy commissioner said, Steve? Not a freaking chance.
No, I mean, listen, I think I know on this one what my parameters happen to be, you know, in terms of what we can do and what we can't do. And I will also say we haven't had a lot of time, and I'm not looking for anything other than you to say, I understand. You know, we found out 3 weeks ago that we were going to Toronto and Edmonton. You know, and yes, we had plans. Yes, I could build out a set design, but then so many other things we weren't able to work on until we knew where we were going. And so we've been so focused on, you know, just activating and bringing these hubs to life. And the other thing is, at looking at Google Maps and drawings, you know, it's not the same as being here. So until we stepped foot in Edmonton and Toronto, you know, you didn't know how you can use that space or this space or where the restaurant actually was in relation to the hotel and how you're going to have to figure out a pathway to get there. I mean, these are kind of things that we've been so focused on. And, you know, I think as we go along, we'll be adding and adding more and more. And that's where I might get the deputy commissioner and the commissioner to go, whoa, where are you going? But for right now, we're just trying to turn on the lights and open the doors and get this thing up and running. And I think the other stuff that sometimes I get, you know, Steve, what are you kidding me? That'll probably come later.
Those probably come after it happens, right?
No, well, sometimes it does after it happens. Now, you know, there's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of things that I would like to do. It's a long tournament. Whether, you know, I know it's going to start and before I know it, it's going to be finished. But I do think there's a lot of time to create some new things. And I will tell you, we're going to be watching, you know, reactions. We're going to be looking at what, to your point, what the players want. We're going to be looking at what our broadcasters want, and we will be nimble. I mean, once we get started, we are definitely not going to look the same when we end as when we start. And that's the beauty of what we all do. You know, if we're just figuring like this is, we're going to be good enough with what we're presenting right now, well, that's foolish. I mean, we're just going to try to keep on making it better and better and better. And hopefully by the time the cup is raised, you know, everybody is really happy with what we've been able to present and put on.
Steve, there's a great book out there that's waiting to be written called Things I Presented to Gary and Bill by Steve Mayer. we really appreciate this today. Thanks for taking time.
And by the way, going back, like those two guys are the most supportive and have been incredible for me and for all our team. I mean, they listen and they let you do your job, and that's really important, and don't get in the way and only help, you know, with everything that we're doing. You know, I'll give an idea to Gary Bettman and he'll give me four ideas that can add to that and make it better. That's the kind of support we need, especially in these times. And they've been just unbelievable. So, you know, I think moving forward, you know, yeah, they might go, what do you want to do? But in the end of the day, you know, if I can kind of convince them or if they see that there's something to the idea, I know that they will be supportive.
You always have good ideas. Steve, thanks so much for stopping by. Fingers crossed. Best of luck. Looking forward to seeing the NHL back on the ice next week. Thanks for doing this.
No, always a pleasure. Thank you guys for your support. And, here we go. Teams arrive and we'll be playing hockey really, really soon. That's what we're all excited about.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
And there he is, Elliot, the chief content officer for the NHL, Steve Mayer. And we've had him on the podcast before. We had him on at the during the draft last year in Vancouver. And he's an impressive guy. Like, I love people that are 24/7 ideas, 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 ideas. And this guy is an idea factory.
Sometimes people that you have to tell no, they can be the biggest pains in the butts, but they are also some of the biggest strengths of your organization. And, you know, Seattle, I think, opened new doors with what they did this week. And I hope what we see in hockey over the next couple of months opens some new doors too.
Congratulations, Seattle, and best of luck, NHL. Deep breath, everybody. Looks like they're going to pull this thing off. And thanks for joining us on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. As always, a special thank you to our producer, Amil Delich. We're back at our regular time, well, regular-ish time, next week.
See, the truth is, hockey's always been here. A sleeping giant ready to be awoken. And this city deserves a hockey club as untamed as the sea herself. And when we heard the rallying cry of the fans and we heard the undeniable passion they had for this name, we knew it was the one. We are the Seattle Kraken.